According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory.
Welcome to our podcast. I'm David Griffith, your host, and I have two experts, Jeremy Lancaster and Jerome Spear from Spear and Lancaster. Our podcast today is titled The Difference Between Good and Great in Safety Leadership. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here with you two again, Jerome and Dave.
I look forward to it.
We got a great topic today, and I love the title, Safety Leadership. Jeremy, your experience goes around the world, and you have great experience, you know, teaching safety leadership, managing it. We hear the term safety management. We hear safety training. But I like your title of safety leadership. Help us understand the distinctions you make while helping people around the world in this area, and most recently your time in the Asia Pacific region.
Yeah, Dave, first of all, yeah, thanks. First thing I'd like for the audience to think about as we go into this is we're going to make a lot of ties to safety leadership, but leadership is leadership, and that should bring every listener in. I wanted to pick this topic for many obvious reasons, but when you look out on LinkedIn and all the social media, and there's so much stuff that's out there around leadership, and when you think about the title of Good to Great, I think there's a lot of confusion, misconception. A lot of people like to talk the talk around leadership, but what does it really take to be great at it? And that's what I want to share from my experiences. And you talk about my experiences just real quick, is I've made a lot of leadership mistakes in leading people over the years. I've done that for two major companies, and as you mentioned, I've done it around the world. And now, as part of our consulting that Jerome and I do, I have the opportunity to do leadership. Literally, this is not exaggerating. I do it all over the world on a weekly basis with leaders, frontline type supervisors, all the way up to managers, VPs, and senior leaders in companies. And that's what I want to share through the discussion today.
Yeah, as the host, I want all your great experience to come out, because this is going to be a great topic. Jerome, how about your excitement for this topic? I mean, I know that at Spear and Lancaster, you guys help a number of clients in the area of safety. You're both experts with a number of credentials in the field, combined experience between the two of you of over 60 years. Share a few words on your perspective on this topic.
Yeah, so with me, a lot of my examples are going to come from my previous employment with Chicago Bridge and Iron Company, and where I was promoted at a fairly early age during my career. And I had some really good leaders and some that, you know, not as good, but no one was a perfect leader in my view. So I try to emulate the things, the bosses I had or leaders I had, even though I didn't directly report to them, try to emulate some of the things I observed from them and some things I didn't think was a good characteristic I try to avoid. And obviously in my owning or starting up my business, you know, there's some leadership aspects of that, although I didn't have, you know, really many direct employees. But as far as from a visualization on you know, where's this business going to go, and I reached a point where I felt like I could grow this business as far as I can by myself. That's why I brought in Jeremy, the partner, with to help us expand and grow, and we've been growing. And in between that, I did work with ECS, which Environmental Compliance Services, which was purchased by XL Capital. And during part of that time, I had a management role in there, which I had opportunities to influence people who directly reported me remotely. All five employees reported me, worked out of their homes in California. And then also, even those, some of those who did not directly report to me that were working on projects that I was overseeing. So that's kind of my background in this concept of whether it be safety leadership, and like Jeremy said, leadership is leadership. So
Yeah, that's excellent. I like what you had to say about no one leader is perfect. And I like to say that leadership is an art, you know, so and where we can learn every day. If we're not learning, we're not leading. And so we're going to jump into the topic. We're going to organize it with three principles. And so the first one is understanding the fundamentals. Jeremy, talk about, you know, the fundamentals that we need to understand safety leadership.
Yeah, Dave, and again, when you, as I mentioned in the introduction, of this is basic stuff, yet it's very difficult to achieve when you think of greatness. And when I talk about fundamentals as it relates to safety leadership, industrial hygiene, process safety leadership, and frontline supervisors, frontline leaders, is they've got to be really good at understanding what's required. What do you have to do on a day-to-day basis? And you could, listeners could go back and listen to our podcast or look at the web pages of, you know, confined space entry, understanding what's required for fall protection. As many listeners know, you've got competent persons that are required. And it's my experiences in the last, I can actually very tangible go back at least 15 years where all organizations sit in a room with leaders and say, everyone's inexperienced. Everyone's new in supervisor roles. How do we close these gaps? All the gray hair, as I look at some gray hair within the room with us three, at least two of us have gray hair, is all the experience exiting industry. And it doesn't matter what type of industry, construction, petrochemical, leadership in churches, that experience is leaving, so how quick can you close the gap? And those conversations happened 15 years ago, and the leadership classes that I do, as I mentioned weekly, that's one of the first things that come up is, well, yeah, we got to train people, and supervisors aren't even experienced, and we're training. So when I say foundation, it goes back to you've got to close those gaps and close them quickly, because we're in a day and age where, not just in the United States, growth is great, but when you have growth in industry and experience leaving, you got to make sure you're focusing on fundamentals, and there are no quick fixes to this. You got to recognize it and work on it quickly. I see a few heads shaking when you do that, but that's what I mean around you can't lose sight of the fundamentals. Think about sports. Think about my Chicago Bears with their Hail Mary pass with the Washington Redskins when I went from excitement to agony last Sunday night because the Bears lost sight of the fundamentals in the middle of that game. So the principles apply, but to be great at it takes a lot of work.
That's a great distinction. Jerome, what do you have on the fundamentals, understanding the risks, the hazards, just some of the different fundamentals you see? The blocking and tackling, if you will, of safety leadership.
Well, back to the football analogy, some of y'all may not like this analogy, but going back to the Aggie and LSU game this past weekend, where LSU, it looked like they did not know how to defend the zone read play, you know, in the second half. You know, it was amazing. They weren't prepared for that. And to me, that was fundamental. But yeah, it's a people business. You have to, what works for one person to influence one person may not work for another person. You got to understand the differences between people's personalities or their assets and also their liabilities. We all had, you know, character flaws, if you will. We all have liabilities in our own personality. And so you, as a leader, you have to be able to recognize that whoever you're dealing with, what are their personality traits? Because even the way you form a question or how you communicate to somebody, you have to be cognizant of that, and you may have to phrase it differently. For example, someone who has a high D personality or very strong domineering type personality, you probably want to avoid using the word you know, you're automatically going to be defensive and things like that. So you may have to be careful in how you word questions or how you word your communications to those individuals, to any individuals. It's just, You just got to understand the differences between people.
And Dave, playing off of Jerome's key point there again, that's the emphasis on this first one, is recognizing it in the organization. And that's a good example, is almost every organization recognizes it, of inexperience, new supervisors, new managers, all the churn, all the turnover in organizations at the leadership level. You can pick all the way up to plant manager level. So recognizing that, then the organization saying, what are we going to do about it? And what are we going to do about it from fundamentals? And then you've got to think outside the box of traditional training methods, traditional delivery, how you teach, how you cover some of these principles may not be the traditional methods, because you've got to accelerate it and close gaps. The leaders got to pick up on it quick. They got to understand risk a lot faster. They may not have the experience. They may not have gained experience with risk from their work history. So you got to come up with clever ways. This isn't Jerome and I sitting here trying to market and saying, oh, we need to do more training. Is just doing more training. Everybody's been doing that for the last 15 years. You got to be clever.
Yeah. The other thing I'd like to add is inevitably we're going to have difficult conversations with somebody as a leader, and I would urge anyone who has that difficult conversation, whether it be a performance review or there's an outcome that you want to achieve from it, you have to take time to plan out that meeting or conversation, and get input from them, get their viewpoint. Be sure to get their viewpoint. It's not just one-way communication, but then have an action item at the end. Point out where you agree, where you disagree at, and then come to some sort of solution or action plan at the end. So it takes a certain amount of planning, and that includes how that conversation is going to go. So there's planning is important, especially for an important conversation you got to have with somebody.
So we're wrapping up the area of fundamentals. I did want to just reference the continuous process. It's not just more training. You mentioned the LSU failing to make an adjustment on defense with the Aggies when they dominated that one. Talk about the continuous process of and the the resources, and how maybe somewhere in your experience where you see leaders make an adjustment, there's a gap that is exposed, and then they address that gap and move in. So it's not just the upfront, but it's that continuous process.
Yeah, and let me do it, Dave, as response to your good question there, and we'll do that as a transition into the second principle that I'm going to cover next. But so, given a very granular example of, again, pick any competent person, a training that Jerome and I are familiar with in OSHA, where, okay, somebody does have to be trained. We've made the point that it's beyond just classroom training. Demonstrate competency through asking questions and giving feedback. Then that next step that we've got listed as a principle, which listeners would do a thumbs up just like they do in classes and say, oh, the importance of getting out in the field where the work is. And I picked that description. There's a lot of different terms used to describe the value and the importance of leaders, managers being out where the work is. But I had a very senior leader in Chevron that would always say, and it stuck with us, by the way, of you got to go where the work is. And if that leader would ever listen to this, he'd know exactly who he was. But it's described differently in organizations, but everybody hoorays and says the importance of, yeah, you got to go out in the field to ensure that the fundamentals are being done by the workers. Yet there's this thing called, I don't have time in a day, I'm sitting in meetings all day long, all this different stuff that we call barriers. So everyone, good leaders agree with the importance of getting out in the field, that next principle, but only great leaders do it. And I'm actually going to throw this stat out now. In my 30 years of working through two major companies, I couldn't prove this other than defending it from my experience. I think there's about a 10 percentile of leaders, when I go back and observe this over the years, these three principles that I'm covering, first one being understanding the fundamentals, the second one being getting out on the field, and then the third one that we'll talk about in just a moment. There's not that many great leaders that are great at all three of them. And if anybody who's listening, I'd ask them to reflect on themselves. And I emphasize this here because a lot of it stops with the second one, is they do so many other things, but they don't go out and see how the work's getting done.
Right. And getting out in the field, you make some great points on that. I mean, that's true for sales leadership, getting out, listening to customers. So how do you break down those barriers that, you know, just busyness, they're in the office, it's administrative work, there's a distance, they have to make the drive, get on site. How do you break that down? And then you reference the Chevron leaders saying, you got to be in the field, got to be in the field. How do you make that connection to move good people to greatness by having a rhythm of getting into the field?
Yeah, I'm going to, and then Jerome, I'll be interested in your thoughts on this when we think about this very difficult barrier for leaders, like you described, for any industry. I'm going to use the term value. Is it something that you really value? And the cool thing that any organization will have, when you get to the fundamentals of safety and process safety, everybody does see that as a value. And I do believe that. If you talk to any individual and say, do you think that safety is important and not getting people hurt? And at the core of most leaders, they really believe that. They don't. So you can check that box and say, okay, we're there. But value means when I get all these other distractions that come up during a day, I'm going to spend time with the workers in the field. Or if I'm a plant manager, I'm going to spend time with that next level. Construction supervisor, whatever area that you're in your organization. And if I miss out on it, this is what I used to do. If there'll be days that I'm sitting in meetings, I'm doing budget, let your list go on of all the different things. But that next day, I'm going to get out in the field because it's important to me. Understanding risk. Understanding how confined space work is being done, understanding that I've got folks that are working at elevation. They're principles that psychologically I'm going to correct it if I don't do it. And that makes people feel uncomfortable. It's hard work, which means that's why leaders talk it, but very few do it great.
Yeah, what comes to mind as far as getting out in the field is one of my Leo Pacini stories. You remember Leo Pacini for CBI Services? Now, CBI Services was a union branch of the division of the company. It was Chicago Bridge and Iron Company, and that's who I worked for much of my time when I was with them on the West Coast. Leo Pacini was the Vice President of Operations for CBI Services. He would travel around to all the different districts, attending safety dinners, help with training and meetings, and he would send personal letters to people he'd meet. But I remember there was a point in time in the mid-90s, he was on the way out of the company, and I don't know the whole backstory of the reasons why and whatnot, but I know that I was putting on a 40-hour accident prevention training. He called me and asked me if I needed help teaching. And so he came, flew out and helped teach part of the training. And I appreciated that. But the big example is we had a big project out in the West Coast for a major refinery, major project. It was on a time and expense basis. We were way over budget, way behind schedule. Customer was not happy with performance. We had safety accidents and injuries and pretty significant ones. And the client removed the project manager and the assistant project manager from the project site. Knowing that he was on his way out, he agreed to be the project manager for that project. So he came out to California. So I got to spend some time with him, observe him work. And he would start the day with the safety meeting out in the field with the harness on, have a safety meeting, and walk the scaffolds himself. I have never seen the other two, the project manager or the assistant project manager, ever put on a safety harness on a project, or nonetheless be up on the scaffold the whole time I was out there. So he completely, in my opinion, single-handedly turned around that project through his leadership. And I don't know what the actual financials and stuff, but I do know that the client was very pleased with how it progressed once Leo got to the job.
It's a great story. So we've...
One thing I want to interject here, Dave, with what Jerome's bringing up that fits into, again, none of this is going to be, oh, wow, to any listeners, but we ask the listeners as you go through this is, okay, what does great look like in the work that it takes? And this thing we talk about with being present in the field and what Jerome's describing with his example is, oh, that's where trust happens, right? You got to build trust. You got to build credibility. And as we all know, there's books written on this and folks like make a lot of money around all this leadership stuff. But there's no other way to establish trust, credibility, building relationships, whatever terms the listeners think about, other than doing what Jerome's described. It takes work. You got to get out there.
Great stuff. So we've covered two of the three principles on our topic of the difference between good and great in safety leadership. But we'll be right back after this break. Spear & Lancaster is an expert safety, process safety, and industrial hygiene consulting firm dedicated to helping organizations increase profits using risk management and incident prevention techniques. Spear & Lancaster has over 60 years of combined experience assisting hundreds of national and international organizations in achieving greater profitability by reducing workplace risks. Welcome back to our podcast on the difference between good and great in safety leadership. We have three principles we're covering. We've covered the fundamentals. We covered getting out in the field and heard a great story from Jerome on a leader that walked the scaffolding and reminded us of, you know, leaders are willing to do anything they ask others to do. Not that they do that every day, but they're willing to show that and demonstrate that leadership. So our third principle is really where I imagine we go from good to great, because we've got to give feedback, we've got to develop, we've got to learn, we've got to develop, we've got to mentor. So this is a tough spot because communication needs to be strong and just a number of things. So talk about giving feedback and mentoring and that leadership relationship with the people that are being led.
Yeah, Dave. So yeah, as we've all stepped through this together, you know, getting out in the field, and once you've arrived, let's say we're on the verge of greatness, right? You get out of the office, you get out of the shop, and then you're out there where the work is. We've talked about the first principle with the fundamentals. And as I try to analyze, and I'll be interested in y'all's thoughts on this too, which of these three are the hardest, as we use the word great, they're all very difficult. But arguably, as you stated, when you're out there with the workers, then it comes down to, all right, how am I going to use my words? Do I choose the right words? I've got great examples of this over my career, and both on the job and at home. You could ask my wife, Leticia, I've got examples where I did not choose my words correctly. So most of us as leaders, you don't have to go very far either on the job or off the job of, oh, this gets hard, right? Once I get to the point of giving feedback. There are several camps on the most effective way to do this. The key principle I'd like to share with the audience, and I also totally realize there's going to be many listeners who may not agree with this, but what I'd like for you to do is at least step back, listen open-minded as you think about your leadership journey is, you hear so much about influential leadership and how much control do you have, or how do you choose the words, how forceful or not are you? And again, there's books that are written on this. You've got to have a good mix of both. But in the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of movement towards influential leadership, you know, getting everybody involved and getting everybody part of decisions. In my experience, you're going to get average results when it comes to safety and process safety leadership, not getting anybody hurt in the field, by only focusing on influence, encouraging. I'll expand throughout the rest of this discussion on some of my basis for that, but that's what I want listeners to think about is, in this world of influence, good luck with that when you're trying to get great results never getting anybody hurt, zero, no injuries, and only use influence, that gets tricky. So what do you guys think? What do you think when you think about you're in the field, what's the best way to get those ultimate results and skills that you're using from a communication?
Well, what I think about, you know, the way to prevent an accident, in first you have to establish the policy procedures, what's expected, you know, for your company or your project or whatever endeavor that you're involved with. And then you have to communicate that to everyone who's involved with that activity or project. Then you have to enforce that. So it goes back to my days with CB&I, and we had a improvement in our safety performance. And I think it started with the biggest jump in our improvement. It started with when we instituted a worldwide 44-hour accident prevention training program back when in the early 90s. And Keith Miller, who was one of my mentors, as well as Jim Rudy, who's another mentor of mine. Jim was the head of environmental health and safety for CB&I corporate-wide. Keith worked for him in corporate and developed the accident prevention training and trained all of us around the world to be other trainers. But we didn't just put frontline supervisors, people through this training. That's who it was geared towards, but all started with the executive management, all went through this training. Then the individual district offices, the construction manager, sales manager, contract engineers, project managers, field engineers, safety supervisors. So went through superintendents, foremen, weld supervisors, leadmen, essentially anyone who had any sort of leadership role went through this training. So that's establishing policies. And then we're training worldwide, not only just the frontline supervisors, but everyone involved with management.
That's a great example of fundamentals, principle number one that we talked about.
Yeah, and then the next phase, we had an Accident Prevention 2 class, which is accident investigations and behavior-based safety, but then, which were also critical as far as, you know, as far as improvement. Learning how to do a root cause analysis effectively is critical to improving any aspect, whether it's safety or quality or production-wise or whatnot. But we also, Keith also developed a formalized safety audit system process that he went around worldwide to do these audits. And it was a numerical audit, and he devised a system on that, on how he's going to grade sites. I remember coming out to California and visiting, doing audits of some of my sites first time. We failed miserably. I mean, we were down in the 50s, 60s, you know, as far as percent good, or whatnot. But I took that feedback from him, and I had an opportunity to accompany him on his audits and see how he was performing the audits. And then, so I started using that audit process, knowing that's how we were going to be scored and that's what they wanted. That's what was expected. And I audited all of our job sites. And the next time he came around, it was much higher scores. I mean, it was a night and day difference. And he even noted that it was a night and day difference since the last time he was out there.
Dave, I'll use this example building on what Jerome is talking about here and the first point I made around this third principle of, okay, you're in the field and now you're interfacing with, whether that's with other leaders or those that are working for you. I'll give my next sports analogy, and with knowing also with this example that there'll be some that think differently about what I'm saying. But again, we're talking about greatness. What does great look like when it comes? And great when it comes to safety is nobody ever gets hurt ever again in an organization. That's the vision. And by the way, any organization that I've talked about going in, they've all got the same principle: is everybody's got the vision, no injuries, nobody getting hurt. Kobe Bryant, and I went from the Bears to the Lakers, but if you go watch podcasts like we're doing now or interviews, and if you don't pick any great athletes that have won multiple championships, a road to greatness is not always making everybody happy. It's not always encouraging. It takes a lot of sweat and I've actually used a 3-minute video clip of Kobe where they've asked, where Ahmad Rashad was actually, some may not know who Ahmad Rashad is, but was interviewing Kobe around this. And when you're doing a movement, his case to win NBA championships, is everybody's not cut out to move that direction. And that's what I'm asking leaders to think about when you get to this third one, is you got to be great at what words you're going to choose. It's not always just making people happy, yet those in the other camps of, yes, you do need to make everybody part of a team. And all those things that the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, the Bill Belichicks, those that have won many championships, the elite, it's a lot of work. And that moment in the field when you're interacting with others, it's a lot of work. And it's not always just making people happy all the time when you do that to get to that next level. And I go back to my, and then I want to hear your thoughts on this, Dave. I go back to my kind of 10% rule of even some that may have gotten the first two right, they may not be good at the third. In these principles, it takes work to be great at safety leadership. And a lot will turn their way and just talk it because of the things that we've talked about today. So Kobe's my best example of you look at greatness, it takes hard work. And we fool ourselves in safety leadership thinking, well, we can all do it. It's hard. It's hard work.
And it's work as your host, because I know that both of you could give me over 40 hours of great expertise. I don't want to miss, as far as resources, leadership frameworks. The last I checked with the academic literature, there's over 60 frameworks of leadership. Help us narrow it down if we're going to train a frontline leader with leadership skills. What are some resources? Obviously, you two are a great resource for companies to you know, bring in your training, bring in your teaching. But in terms of an off the shelf, what resources do you refer to? Things like that. Help us with that.
I'll give a couple specific in approaches. I intentionally don't want to, you know, recommend. And I'll let Jerome jump in if he does. What I found in doing all the different companies that I do leadership training, and internally when we did this in Chevron Phillips for many years, I found out quickly that the principles are all very similar. Go grab any podcast, any book, all the principles, five principles, all the different authors that are out there, they all come down to, okay, you know, using your words. How are you communicating through your words? What do you do as a leader of demonstrating those right behaviors first? So those are the couple principles that they're all going to have, and you'll find them however you choose to listen or go read something. Go pick one. Most importantly, you've got to be consistent. It's hard, and you've got to be consistent. And I hope I'm wearing this all out with that message, because if you want to be in that upper 10%, and this isn't just frontline leaders, plant managers, presidents, CEOs, there aren't many that are great at this. So you could go, there's a lot to go shop around and pick. They're all going to have similar principles.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can point at a particular resource on leadership per se, but I would say my favorite motivational speaker is Zig Ziglar, a Christian motivational speaker, and I listen to virtually every one of his speeches, and it had a lot of leadership aspects on it, but it was rooted in the Bible. And I think that would be my primary resources, is to look at the Bible and look at Jesus as a role model as far as being a servant leader.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jerome, for bringing that up. Go read scripture. And think of Jesus and his leadership journey with the apostles, right? He journeyed plus or minus for a period of time. And if folks don't know what I'm saying there, go read on the life of the apostles. But the 12 apostles are great examples of what leadership looks like, and Jesus mentoring them. Is it important to practice humility, right? So I got my Kobe Bryant example, but did Jesus demonstrate humility? Absolutely. But was Jesus, through Scripture, very direct of what it takes for us to be saved and the pathway to eternity? So that's about as simple as you can get it. So yeah, go read what scripture tells us and what example Jesus set from a leadership. So I know we're running out of time, but that's a great part of it to end on for this first of a series.
Yeah, that's a great spot to end. I want to thank everyone for listening to The Difference Between Good and Great in Safety Leadership. Our principles of the fundamentals, getting into the field, giving feedback and mentoring. It's been great to be with two great leaders and influencers in the room. Thanks to our experts.
Yeah, Dave and Jerome, thank you guys. And again, for listeners, we're going to continue to build on this series. We'll probably do at least two more. There's a lot to unpack here with all the leadership stuff. So we're going to build on this with more principles. We're trying to unpack a little bit at a time. We're going to talk about human performance next time, just because that one gets a lot of chatter out on social media. So we're going to share our views on where does all this human performance stuff fit into it. So tune in again with us for the next podcast.
Can't wait. Until next time.
According to His power that is at work within.